In Genesis chapter 2, is everybody there? In verses 1 and 2, would you read it with me? Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Now, seven in the Bible means complete and perfect. So we know that if something's been complete and perfect, number eight would be a new beginning. Now, before I go to the new beginning, because Friday was 888, and it's a spiritual representation of where we're at. But before I go there, I want to explain a couple other things. I want you to go to Genesis 1 and 27. Genesis 1 and 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created man, created him male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Well, we know that was taken away when Adam fell, right? And then it was restored to us again when Christ reigned and took over. In verse 29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it so it was. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The number six means man. It's an area where it's the institution of man. God created man on the sixth day. He rested on the seventh day. Now, if you notice that in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, it talks about 666, which they call as the mark of the beast. So I want you to understand that 666 represents the area where the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet will manifest themselves in man. I hear me. They'll be manifested in the natural realm. Now, the 666 is also going to be a representation of the economic world order. It'll be associated with the government world order. And it'll be associated with a one world order religion. And if you notice, that's what they're trying to promote right now. Obama is a world order man. He believes in one world religion, one world government, and one world economic. I'm not calling him the Antichrist, but I'm telling you he ain't a Christian. Anybody that believes in killing children is not a Christian. I don't care if they claim they're a Christian. If they believe in abortion, they ain't a Christian. Are you hearing? So we see now that in this, that the 666 and what it represents, that the seven meaning complete and perfect, and we've come through a completion of things in the spirit realm where there is a new beginning now. Of course, we won't hit 888 until, hallelujah, long time. But anyways, in this right now, I want to share with you, because what the Spirit put on my heart, it's a representation of what God is doing in this 888, not only economic, but in governmental, and in the spirit realm. And I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about worldliness. I'm talking about the body. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What's 8 mean? New beginning. Now, I'm just going to share something real fast here. And I'm not going to go into this, but I don't know if you noticed that Russia just kind of like got involved in a war with its own people. So there's people dying over there in Georgia. The Georgians and Russia. And I call it Gog and Magog fighting each other. But anyways, that all fell on the new beginning day. See, God, in this period of time, there'll be more and more things exposed. More and more things will be exposed in preparation for where we're headed. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and starting at verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be an idiot or ignorant. Now, in spiritual gifts, it's very important, because spiritual gifts are tools. They are sacred. And I believe God right now is tweaking us, cleaning us up, so that we're not moving by emotion or by the soulish realm, but we're moving by the Spirit. But there's all things tweaking up right now. And he says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols. However you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. There are what? Diversities of gifts, but the what? Same Spirit. In other words, that is distribution. This is going to be an eight. There'll be a new beginning in this. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There'll be an extension and an expansion of certain ministries. Some ministries people will not understand because they'll be directed by the Lord. See, because they'll be so caught up in their foolish religion and the things of old, but see, God's bringing a new thing. You cannot feed new with old. You must feed new with new. Are you hearing? Let's go a little further. The next one. What's the next one say? And there are what? There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, we know we're talking about the Spirit, the Lord, and the Father. Does everybody get it? The Spirit, the Son, the Father. Does everybody understand? Now, the Spirit distributes. It's the Lord's ministry, and the Father is the overseer of all things. And he says that there's going to be new beginnings. There's going to be a higher level. There's coming a higher level, not only in the manifestations of the gifts and tightening up things, but there's going to be a higher level. And he's calling us to a higher level in ministry, a higher level of commitment, a higher level in administration, a higher level in every area of our life. And if you're not willing to get in the higher level, you'll stay. You'll stay stagnant. You won't grow. Because old will prevent you from growing. The things you're still feeding on old will prevent you from growing. God is giving fresh rhema, fresh manna, so that we can grow and grow and grow. Does everybody understand? Let's go to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. 8:8:8. Now we know that when we go to another level, that means there's going to be more devil. So if you're not defeating the devil at this level, how do you expect him to defeat him at the next level? Hello? See, you've got to be able to accomplish and fulfill what God has given you now so you can get to the next level. You will not defeat the enemy until you get fulfill these levels. Are you understanding? Now, with this next level God is bringing to us, and it's going to be a stronger, that's why he's pouring out a Spirit. He's pouring out a Spirit even a greater way now, isn't he? Why? Because he's causing us. In other words, he sprinkles thirst and hunger on you. He touches you, and then he draws back and says, come on now. Come on. Little sprinkle, sprinkle. Come on. Come on. Then come on. You know? I love how he operates in that, you know? He causes you to want him more, because the more you press in, the more you die. The more you shed another peel of that onion. That's why you cry a lot. In Genesis 17, in verse 12, I believe. Oh, let's start at verse 9. And God said to Abram, as for you, you shall keep my covenant and your descendants after you throughout your generations. And this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. So I want you to understand that circumcision is a representation of a sign of covenant. He who is what? 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendant, they shall be what? Circumcised. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So we see that the circumcision, we are in a season right now of this 888 where it's a part of a circumcision, cleansing and sanctification. Circumcision, cleansing and sanctification. And now we know that it's the circumcision of the heart. It's the circumcision of the heart. And this is where God is beginning to bust many hearts. The things that you're still holding on to, that he's been saying, let go. He's causing us to do certain things right now because there's a greater conviction like there's never been before. Greater conviction. So we see that the circumcision is for sanctification. There is cleansing to establish a stronger bond of covenant. Now I want you to get this. It's to establish a stronger bond of covenant and birthright. It's to establish a stronger bond of covenant and birthright. Remember, we shared that the birthright is the right to birth your inheritance. And so many people's inheritance are going to just stay in heaven forever until they get home. Then it won't do them any good anyways. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Everybody there? I believe it's in verse 11. 11 through 14, would you read it with me? In him you are what? Also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped away the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. So he's talking about circumcision of the heart. In other words, the Bible tells us that we must believe in our heart and confess in our mouth, right? We believe in our heart and confess in our mouth, and your heart is the character of your spirit. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. So we see here on this eighth day, and where are we at? 888 just started in this last Friday. New beginnings. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. So if you're finding yourself being drawn more, you're finding yourself wanting to get right, you're finding yourself that you need to be cleaner, you're finding yourself that there's something in you saying, man, there's something more I'm supposed to do, you're finding yourself in all of these areas that you want to know more, you want to tweak things out in your life, you want to serve God, you want to do something for the kingdom, it's because of what's being happening right now. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 in verse 15. Now Hezekiah became king in verse 15, and he said, and they gathered their brethren and what? Sanctified themselves and went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the king to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to what? Cleanse it, and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord of the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the book of Kidron. How many of you know that God's cleaning out his house? Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month. And on the what? Eighth day of the month they what? Came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went to King Hezekiah and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread with all of its articles. So we see here that there was a cleansing, there was a sanctification, and there was a preparation for the Lord's return. See, God is coming for a blemish-free church. A blemish-free church. That's why I keep sharing and the Spirit is sharing with us. You'll either learn or burn. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This is where the enemy comes in and he puts everything between you and God. Food. Families. Work. Money. Yourself. All of these other things I'll try and put between you and God. Well, how am I going to do that? You know, if more people would understand, and I'm telling you what, if you tithe correctly and do offerings correctly, you won't have to work extra hours. Why? Because God is trying to get you to sow supernaturally. If you'll start your morning every day with prayer and seek God, you'll find things will fall into place a lot easier, man. See, but the enemy always tries to prevent you. I mean, most people only show up on Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas to church. But he says, forsake not to a fellowship. So if you're not in fellowship, there's a problem. You know? And if your heart is not out to worship, he says, seek me with all of your heart. Then you will find me. So many people are wanting God to do something, but God's asking them, well, come on. Come on, here I am. You want me to do something? Here I am. Come and touch me. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. What did she have to do? She had to press through the whole crowd and then touch the hem of his garment. And then something was released to her. And not until then. But see, this is where God is dealing with us individually. He's dealing with me, myself, and I. And he's trying to diminish it and sever it. So I won't fall in a woe is me. Hello? So I'm not looking at what I don't have instead of being grateful of what I do have. See, these are the plays of the enemy to prevent. Man, you know, if we're just grateful of what we have, he'll give you more. But if you're ungrateful of what you have because you're always looking for more, you ain't getting more. And what you have will want to be taken. I hear it. So we are in this season right now where God is really tweaking up, tightening up, pulling the reins. You know, did you ever take a sponge that's wet and squeeze it? You know, after you just wiped up something? And all the stuff you just wiped up comes out, don't it? You know, where do you think they get anointing oil from it? All of that has to be what? Crushed. The Bible says that the way of the unrighteous is broad. But the way of the righteous is difficult and narrow. So you can play religion and all you want, and you can think you're doing the right thing with God because you go to work and you do this and you do that, but where are you really at? You got to ask yourself, am I really doing the will of God or am I doing the will of man? Am I really doing am I under an area where I am accountable? Am I accountable? Because see, if you can't be accountable to a fellowship, you can't be accountable to God. Well, I just don't believe it. Well, it's proven 100%. It's 100% proven. And that means that demon in you still wants to move you out of God's fellowship because you're not fighting flesh and blood. Does everybody understand? So God is really tweaking up things. And why is he tweaking up things and bringing us to another level? Because more demonic forces are going to be released. And if you're at the level right now where you can't overcome, there's something you need to do quickly. Now, there's something that happened as the Lord began to impart this in me. And he said, new beginning. I said, yeah, all right, praise God, new beginning. What's up, Lord? He says, there are times when there needs to be a double atonement for a new beginning. I thought, a double atonement? And he began to bring me back into with Noah. Now, 40 is a representation of atonement. And he began to show me all the double atonements that were established for the new beginning. I thought, this is wild. Now, Jesus, he came to fulfill the law, didn't he? He still did a double atonement. All right? Why? He went in the wilderness for 40 days, and he stayed on the earth 40 days, even after he rose, to fulfill the law as a double atonement. Are you hearing me? And if you look in the Old Testament, if they did not have a blemish-free lamb, which only took one, then they'd have to get what? Two turtle doves. Two of this. Two of that. Do you understand it? Why? A representation of a double atonement. I know this is probably the first time you've heard it because it's some of the first time I've heard it. But as you know, the Bible, it's precept upon precept, line upon line. God always confirms himself. So I want to share with you a little bit about this double atonement. And one of the questions, which was kind of weird, he said, 4 + 4 equals what? I said, 8. He said, good, double atonement. I thought, whoa. which brings a what? New beginning. Now, you got to think about it. Jesus atoned for you. Are you hearing me? Well, you can't receive it until you what? Atone by what? Repentance. Are you getting? And by repentance, you atone, don't you? Because when you repent, what are you activating? The sacrifice blood. That's why everybody must repent to receive Jesus so they can get the what? Double atonement. Are you hearing? Kind of weird, huh? But it's okay. It's true. Go to Genesis 7. Genesis chapter 7. Verse 4. Now let's start at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come on into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, and a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, and a male and his female. Also seven each of the birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth. For after seven more days,
hello,
I will what? Now he did it complete and perfect, didn't he? After seven more days, then what's he going to do? He's going to bring what? Atonement. 40, it's going to rain 40 days. It will rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all things that I have what? That I have made. So we see that there was an atonement made for there, wasn't there? Does everybody understand? How long were the Jews in the wilderness? 40 days. Are you hearing? 40 days. You think about it. Okay, so listen, when Moses was in Egypt, he ended up killing a man, right? And he took off and went to the wilderness, didn't he? You know how long it took him to see the bush? 40 years. Then the bush came. So during that 40 years, he was married with children and all kinds of other stuff. And then the Lord spoke to him. Then what did he do? He called him up. What did he say? You go get the people. Do you know that Moses was 80 years old the first time he talked to Pharaoh? What was he getting ready to do? Start a what? New beginning. And then when Moses came back and took the Jews out of the wilderness, how long were they in the wilderness? 40 years. Wow. Now think about it. How long were they in Egypt as bondages? 400 years. Do you see all the atoning? Look at, from the time of Adam to Jesus is how many years? 4,000 years. Oh, it's powerful. I love it. Go to Deuteronomy 9, 888. Yeah. See, 888 will definitely stomp 666. Deuteronomy 9:23. Would you read it with me? Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandments of the Lord your God, and you did not believe him or obey his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Thus I prostrated myself before the Lord. How many days? 40 days and 40 nights. And I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. So what was Moses doing? He was making atonement for Israel. How many times did he have to go up and make atonement for Israel? Twice. Are you hearing me? Twice he had to go. For fulfillment. Go to Genesis 50. I can't go real deep in it because I don't want to go, you know, beyond what I should. I'm just placing a seed so you know where we are at 888, okay? Genesis 50, starting at verse 1. It's a new season. Yeah. Now Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him because he had died. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel, or Jacob. How many days? 40 days were required for him, for such are the requirements of those who are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. Hallelujah. I love it. So the atonement was 40, but they mourned for him 70 to what? Complete. Listen to this, if you think about it. Now remember, we're talking about atonement is 40, right? King Saul reigned for 40 years. What was his function? To wipe out who? Those that would come against Israel, the heathen. Now listen, Saul. Then who took his place? King David. How long did he reign? 40 years. Then who replaced him? Solomon. How long did he reign? 40 years. Y'all understand this? These guys were all to limit. Up to 40 years was their atonement for Israel every time. Go to Ezekiel 4. 888. You know, I just the Spirit just wants us to know where we're at and what's going on. And why we've got to be ready and prepared. And why the new beginning is. Why is this new beginning coming? Because we are in a whole new realm, a whole new season, a whole new shift in preparation for the Lord's return. There's a shaking, a quaking, a cleaning, and a squeezing. And an exposing for sanctification and preparation for a blemish-free church. In verse 6, and now the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, telling him what he wants to do. Go to verse 5 so we get more of an understanding. For I've laid on you the years of their iniquity according to the number of days, 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side, then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah for how many days? 40 days. And I will have laid on you a day for day for each year. So what was he doing? He was atoning in his positioning. He was taking the iniquity. Iniquity is inherited sin or inherited curses. I guess we might as well go to Matthew 4 so you can see what I was talking about. Matthew 4, verse 2. You know, now if a man lives right, how long will he live? 80 years. If a man lives right, he'll live 80 years. Hello? In Matthew 4 and verse 2. And when he had fasted what? 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. But read verse 1. It says, now he was led by who? The Spirit of the Lord into the wilderness. Wow, for 40 days. Jesus did it in 40 days, which took Israel 40 years. I love it. And then in Acts 1, 3, remember he had to fulfill the law? That's why he did the double atonement. Acts 1, 3. And to whom he what? Also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. See, this was after he rose from the dead. So he went into the wilderness. All right? After he proclaimed his ministry, he knew what he was being called for. He went into the wilderness, and then when he came out, he actually proclaimed his ministry. But he had to go defeat the devil. So he atoned for the 40 days. He fulfilled the law. And then he died and rose again and hung out for another 40 more days. So that he could fulfill the law and the double atonement. And then he rose on the 40th day after he ascended into heaven on the 40th day. And he told his people to wait for the blessing, for the jubilee, for the pouring out of his Spirit 10 days later. Why? Because there was going to be a new beginning. Are you hearing? Now, go to Ezekiel 40. I'm going to share with you what he saw. Everybody okay? You know where we are? You know what's happening? 888. It's going on, man. It's going on. With or without you. You got to learn or what? Burn. Well, it's just me, Jesus, and the Bible. Well, you're an idiot. You don't know the word. Ezekiel what? 40. Verse 37. Its gate posts faced the outer court. Palm trees were on its gates, gate posts, and on this side and on that side. And going up to it were what? 8 steps. There was a chamber in its entrance by the gatepost of the gateway where they washed the burnt offering. In the vestibule of the gateway were 2 tables on this side and 2 tables on that side on which to slay the burnt offerings, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. At the outer side of the vestibule, he's talking about the tabernacle. Are you hearing me? As one goes up into the entrance on a northern gateway were 2 tables. And on the other side of the vestibule on the gateway were 2 tables. 4 tables were on this side and 4 tables on that side by the side of the gateway. 8 tables on which they slaughtered the sacrifices. For what? A new beginning. 8 steps, 8 tables. Okay, let's continue a little further. Go to Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25. And we'll start at verse 1. You know, the Bible tells us that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And when we really get the full understanding of this, we can see that atonement was made by his stripes also. And in verse 1 it says, if there is a dispute between men, and they come to court, and the judges may judge them, and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, then it shall be, if the wicked man deserves to be beaten, that the judge will cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence and according to his guilt with a certain number of blows. 40 blows he may give him and no more, lest he should exceed this and beat him with many blows above these, and your brothers be humiliated in your sight. You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Now, I don't want to get into all of that, but I just want to share with you here that here they were beaten or they were whipped with 40 blows, amen, for atonement for their unrighteousness. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you'll see here that Paul talks about being whipped. Stripes. Now, they called it 40 stripes minus 1 because 40 was the maximum. That was the fulfillment of atonement. But they always would say 40 stripes minus 1 because they were fulfilling. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, if you'll read it with me. And it says, and now Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. Now, those were 40 stripes. Now, minus 1. Now, I want you to understand something, that Jesus also received 40 stripes minus 1. But his death was the final fulfillment of the last stripe, where everything that any sickness or disease, by his atonement of the stripes and him being the last stripe, dying on the cross, that we can be healed from all of our sicknesses and diseases because the atonement for your healing has been paid. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll close here. I think we got the point across. Now think about this. Jesus was in the synagogue. And while he was in the synagogue, there was a woman with an infirmity for how many years? Anybody know? 80. And he blew their theology and healed her in front of all of them. And he said, this woman's been demonized, bound by this devil for 80 years. And he healed her. And he was comparing and telling about, this is the new thing that's happening now. It's not about just showing up and doing your ritual. It's about bringing Christ wherever you are. Just don't meet Christ in the church. You're supposed to be the church. Christ is supposed to be with you everywhere you are. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Thank you, my Lord. For Christ also suffered what? Once for sins. Why? Because he was the perfect lamb. The just for the unjust, that he might bring to us, to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the what? Spirit. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is how many souls? Eight. For what? A new beginning. And a 40-day atonement. Eight souls were saved through water. There's also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers, having been made subject to Him. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Is everybody all right? Where are we at? 8, 8, and 8. It's a new beginning offered by the double atonement and the single atonement of Christ Jesus, who fulfilled all things. There's a squeezing. There's a changing. There's a circumcision being made even more. There's a cleansing and a sanctification, because he's coming back for a blemish-free church. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed the season that we are in. The new beginning. New season. Where old things have passed away and all things have become brand spanking new. We accept it, we receive it, we thank you for the price of atonement that you have paid, and for all that they have paid behind us. But Lord, we don't look behind anymore, we go forward. For the upward call of Christ, to fulfill the calling that you've called us, in preparation for your return. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness as we prepare our hearts in communion with you. Any area of our heart that needs to be circumcised, cut it, Lord. Cut it out. There may be more of you and less of us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.